Desire y'all's prayers this evening. As on the board, you know, we often have knowledge, things that we're skilled in. I think of men I've worked with, men I've known that are, I would say, are experts in their field. And those men have very solid knowledge of what they do. They're the folks that if you have a question about, say, working on cars, and I can think of a man's name popped in my head just now, Brother Dan Adams. I would feel comfortable asking him a question. He's a man of knowledge. He knows something about vehicles. My father was a man that worked with wood. And when I would be running into something where I'm trying to do a project with wood and run into an issue, I knew I could pick up the phone. I could call Dad. And sure enough, talk to him a little bit, and he would come up, well, try this and see if that works. But sometimes, you know, we claim we don't know something. Sometimes we say, I don't know that. And what I want us to look at tonight, I'm going to start off in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 22. This is the part of a story where Ahab is getting ready to go into battle. And he's wanting to know if this is something that should be done. So starting off in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah the son of Imlah. And then dropping on down into verse 15. So he, Micaiah, came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now I want us to stop here and consider what the King Ahab said with that statement back to the prophet. Because King Ahab, he was wanting to go to battle. In the earlier parts over in chapter 21, he had been talking to the people first. He said, we have a right to Ramoth of Gilead. That's our land. And we need to go possess it. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was visiting. Jehoshaphat was a good king. Jehoshaphat was there and he said, well, you're brothers. We're brothers. Will you go up to battle with me? And Jehoshaphat said, sure, but you know, let's inquire of the Lord. Let's make sure this is the proper way. And so Ahab gets his false prophets. And I call them false prophets because Jehoshaphat, after they had prophesied, said, well, isn't there a prophet of the Lord somewhere we can talk to? I mean, you had all these prophets, but they seem to be speaking just to you, king, more to your taste. And King Ahab said, well, there is a prophet, but I don't like him. In fact, what did it say? I hate him. Why? Well, because he never tells me what I want to hear. He's always telling me bad stuff. He's always prophesying against me. Well, we still should check on him. Okay, go get him. And the prophet comes, and what did the prophet do this time? King Ahab said, should we go up? The prophet says, sure. Go right on, king. And how did the king respond? Did he say, oh, he prophesied for me this time? No, the king said, didn't I tell you not to lie to me, basically, to only tell me the truth? Do you know by stating that, Ahab admitted he already knew the answer? His question that was being put out, he had already made up his mind. He did not care to know what the answer was. He was only entertaining the prophets for Jehoshaphat. He knew the answer. The Lord didn't want him to go. He didn't need to really inquire. There's another man. Let's go to Acts now. Acts chapter 26. And we're going to start reading in verse 13. Acts chapter 26, verse 13 says, at midday, O king, this is Saul speaking, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now Saul here, what was the statement, the first thing that he was told? Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? What is Jesus saying by asking those words other than Saul, you know what's happening. You know, Saul. Yes, you've got your letters of authority to go do the stuff you're wanting to do, but you know, in your heart, you felt me working. You felt me talking to you. You felt me showing you things. But you've chose to continue to walk against me. And, you know, I'm a little amused by Saul's question, who art thou, Lord? The response, well, I'm Jesus, the one you persecute. You know, that's not a statement where Jesus was trying to say, oh, let me explain it to you. Let me show you who you don't know me, so I'm going to. No, Jesus said, you know who I am. I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. You know who I am. You know. You know, we will never have an excuse for having chose hell over heaven. We can't sit there and say, I didn't understand. We can't sit there and say, well, it was Joe or Jane or some other person that discouraged me or hindered me. At the end of the day, it's going to be us. God will have dealt with each and every one of us personally. You will know. It's not an option. You know, you think of Ahab. He was an evil man. But he kept company with good men. Jehoshaphat was a good king. And Ahab said, He was looking to add legitimacy to what he was doing. That's why when Jehoshaphat asked, is there a prophet? Yeah, we got these prophets. Come on in, guys. Jehoshaphat wants a testimony from the Lord, so let's give him one. This is the right way to go. Jehoshaphat, however, had something where he said, I know what a prophet of the Lord generally looks like, and there's a spirit about him. And dare I say, I'm just going to speak for myself. He's watching these guys make horns and go around like they're pushing things. And Jehoshaphat's like, I know. That's not right. I know that. And yet, do you realize even Jehoshaphat made a knowing decision that turned out bad? Because after Ahab had asked Micaiah not to lie or to just speak the truth, I shouldn't use the word lie, because Micaiah was told what to say by the Lord. And after King Ahab said, I really want you to tell me what the Lord really is going to do, Micaiah said, okay, I'll tell you. He sent the lying spirit so that you would be told to go. And if you go up to battle, you're going to die. He said that prophecy in front of King Jehoshaphat and King Ahab. King Ahab knowingly chose death. Should have been no surprise to him to die on the field of battle. He had been told, you're going to die. He knew. It's his responsibility for having died on that battlefield. He could have chose differently. He could have said, okay, the Lord has said, if I go there, I'm dead. I really would like to live another day, Lord. I'm not going to go there. But even shame on Jehoshaphat. He heard the same pronouncement, and he went as well. And as part of King Ahab's plan, and why Jehoshaphat went with this, I don't know. King Ahab said, hey, here, you put on my clothes. You dress up as me, and we'll go into battle. Now, Jehoshaphat had heard the prophecy that Ahab was targeted for death in the battle. But he went along with it. He knew. Folks, in your walk, you can get roped into stuff if you're not careful, because you're hanging around with people you probably shouldn't be. And they'll rope you in and get you into something and get you to put their robes on. And you know that if you do that, you're a target. A target for the enemy. And it says that the king on the other side told his, I think he had 32 caps, and he told him, I don't want you to fight with anybody but King Ahab. And they thought they had found him, and they started attacking, and King Jehoshaphat went to hollering. And they realized, this is not King Ahab. You know they left him alone. That's the only saving grace he had in that battle, is the enemy recognized, you're not the one we're after right now. We're going to let you live because we've been given instructions to only fight with King Ahab. Do you know part of that is the mercy of the Lord? The Lord had only said Ahab was going to die. But Jehoshaphat, because of his bad choices, even though he knew, almost got killed too. But he knew. He chose anyway. Paul, good old brother Paul. You know, he was a man, and this is where I want us to look at ourselves here tonight. Paul was a man, I'm going to say, attempting to live with a head knowledge of the Word of God. He had studied the Word. I dare say he showed up at every service when the doors opened. He probably helped clean in the chapel if they had cleaning days, helped at work days. A Pharisee after the Pharisees, yes. He had his act together, folks. If, dare I say, he'd been sitting on Amen Pew today. He thought he was doing good, holding on to the teachings of the Pharisees, measuring up well in front of men, had men's respect. But deep down inside was a battle. The message of Jesus started floating across his path from time to time. And something started pricking him, to use Jesus' own words. To the point that he started saying, I've got to do something about this. This is going to destroy everything I stand for. It's going to make me look bad in front of people. I'm ad-libbing here. But he wanted, I got to stand against this. And then on the road to Damascus, Jesus finally got through, struck him blind, spoke to him, "Saul, my dear boy, why are you fighting me? Who are you? Come on now, Saul. I'm Jesus. You know the one you're persecuting? You got my name all over the papers of who you're going to try to go kill, because believers of. You know, Saul, you know that this is not a surprise, Saul. It's in mercy I'm talking to you here today. I've got plans for you." One thing that I love is he said, "Saul, you know and have seen some of these things I need you to preach about. You've been trying to hold on to the old law, but I want you to talk about that law of grace that's been bothering you. The one that you're about to get a real close walk with. Do you know that old brother Saul had a choice to make? The very powers that he was wielding at that time for the devil, he knew would come against him if he made that choice. He knew. But when he looked at it, he said, but if I don't choose it, I won't have eternal life. And when I weigh the two out, pain on earth where we're going to die anyway, everybody's going to die. So the threat of death at the end of the day is kind of minuscule. But Jesus, the one that's been working with me so kindly, I know he's kind. Why he's still working with me? I've been killing his people, and he wants me to be a minister in his effort. Who does that? Nothing but a kind, loving God that says, I'm looking at you, I'm working with you, and you know it. You know why this bothers you so much? Because you can see the truth. When you study the word and you look at it and you let my spirit talk to you, you can see the truth and you know. Now, some people might say, well, I'm not sure we can really know things. But let's go to Romans now. Romans chapter 1, and starting in verse 18. Says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." They knew God, and they made a choice. Folks, that's my burden tonight. There's not a person sitting in here that, if you look deep enough into your heart, cannot say that you know where you stand. It's in the scriptures. You know. If you will look at yourself, if you will be honest with yourself, you know, do I have a need? Do I need a little more dedication? Is there something that I need help with? You know if you're in the right spot. You know if you're in the wrong spot? You know. That's actually one of the blessings. Because I feel like I can speak for a lot of the folks that are saved. You know. There's something changes. There's not a question. Yes, sometimes the devil will get in there and give you doubts. But when you go back and you say, Spirit, I need help. The Spirit and the Word will come together. They'll put you back on solid ground. You'll know my feet are sure. Circumstances of life may not be, but my feet are sure. My soul's in a good space. I don't know what else to say this evening other than, folks, be very careful with how you handle the knowledge of what you know. Your eternity hangs in the balance. You all pray for me.